Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the show. It's brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who will give you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan Moylan here, along with Michael Normanton and Rob Conlon today for the weekly show. Hello. Ad-free. You can get all these podcasts ad-free, priority access to the match ball when that returns in December, nearly in Christmas. Got a little bit of time off now, haven't we, gentlemen? Talking about TSB Plus, by the way, if you want to have a look at that, thesquareball.net/plus, our members package, loads of perks, discounts on merch, early access, and so on.
No increase in price despite being award-winning.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there is that.
I mean, we might start really gouging people on it. 40 quid a month.
The Squareball. I'll do that Sky do, just keep hiking the prices. Exactly. Thesquareball.net/plus. We do need to say thanks again for that. If you missed propaganda earlier in the week, we said thanks for our award. Do you want to go get it? Because I can't be trusted.
Oh, fine.
Is that your phone that's making noises as well?
Correct, yep.
Award winning.
that does still work, despite you dropping a brick on it.
There you go.
There we go. Look at that. Boom.
There is the award.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is there, and it's in focus as well if you're looking at the video version just about.
Lovely stuff. Yep, it's nice and solid.
So thank you again if you did take the time to vote for us. We really appreciate it. We were completely blown away by winning it, weren't we? I remember, our award was given out late. Like the award started at 6:30. We had 4 pints before we got to the awards, haven't we, in the afternoon?
Yeah, steady.
got to the awards at 6:30 for the champagne reception, and the awards themselves started at 7, and it was free booze on the table. And our award was 11 o'clock. So you can kind of do the maths on it.
Yeah, it was a long old stint, wasn't it?
But I remember when the moment when it was announced, and I realised, because obviously there's something along the lines of, they couldn't beat Fulham, but they couldn't do it. And I went, it's us. And went, it's the square ball. And I remember, I think I looked at you and went, fuck! Like that. And we went up and got it and blathered some words out on stage and got the hell out of there. But that was nice, wasn't it?
It was very good.
It was very nice. So thank you. Thanks for letting us have another brilliant moment. And hopefully we will carry on making you happy and doing stuff for you like this that you will enjoy. This is the weekly show, part one of which is the news, the Leeds United news. And there is Leeds United news, despite the season having now packed up and gone off to Qatar for a bit. We've got a friendly to look forward to versus Real Sociedad on December the 16th. That's the Friday just before Christmas. It's, you know, sort of colloquially known as Mad Friday, isn't it?
Or Black Eye Friday.
Yep.
Potentially. I mean, it's Diego Llorente's testimonial.
Yep. So it's the plate.
He'll be handing them out.
The Llorente plate, vase, shield.
Either way, it's getting broken. yeah, have you bought a ticket yet?
No, not yet.
No, I probably will go.
I have got one. I just think a month off, you're going to have the sort of craving for it, aren't you, eventually?
20 quid. I did go, 15 would have been enough.
I must admit, I told some friends to get me one without realising the 20 quid. I was like, oh, right, okay, cool.
But yeah, everyone's been going to be starved of it, aren't they, by then? And the good news is it will give us an opportunity to sell a magazine, because we were doing a kind of an interim no league game to sell it at magazine. So
so this is issue 4 of this season. Is it going to go out to subscribers, but it'll give us the game to sell it? And is it going to be girthier as well?
I mean, Rob's been working on it more than me, but yeah, I believe it's got...
I mean, you say working on it, we should probably write it, but yeah, it's going to be bigger, more work, which we have definitely done, slightly bigger.
Is it going to have a spine?
I think it's going to have a slight spine. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be definitely finished soon.
Yeah, I mean, in most walks of life, spine, good.
Mm.
One of those. Keeps you upright.
It does.
Stops you flopping on the floor like a little puddle of jelly. So that's good. I'm just looking at the date of this Real Sociedad game. It is between the two World Cup semi-finals, which are on the 13th, 14th, the Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the third place playoff is the Saturday. Is there a more pointless thing than a third place playoff?
Nobody
wants it. Nobody wants to be there. Chance for everyone to have a run out, but at that time of year, Winter World Cup and all that, everyone just wants to get home, don't they? And then the final is on Sunday the 18th, and then we're back at it the week after that. Strange, isn't it? It's Christmas the week after that, and then we're back at it a bit later, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll talk about the World Cup in a separate section, won't we?
Yeah, we'll do well. We'll do that in part two.
A little bit. But,
yeah.
I would call it a preview, but it's not really going to be. It's going to be three men moaning.
That's what we should rename the show.
In all probability.
Three men moaning.
If you're buzzing for the World Cup, sorry. I'm sure some people are.
We've seen some more of our games moved as well, haven't we? The Villa away game has been moved to Friday night, Friday the 13th at 8 o'clock.
Going to probably assume there's no trains back from that. Not checked, but it sounds late, doesn't it?
Yeah, although Birmingham to Leeds is doable, isn't it, on the cross-country services?
Yeah, probably. Well, maybe.
I've just realised I'm meant to be at a birthday party in Birmingham on the Saturday, and I was looking forward to potentially doubling up as an away day and a party, but obviously it can't do that now.
Well, you could go down on the
full
Friday.
Full weekend in Birmingham.
You don't want to spend that long in Birmingham, do you?
It's got lots to offer. I forget what, but there's some stuff there.
Yeah, that Ronnie Scott's, is that still there?
The what?
Ronnie Scott's, the jazz place.
Oh, no idea.
That's the only place I remember in Birmingham. Anyway, Brentford at Elland Road, Sunday the 22nd of January. 2 p.m. kickoff. I hate those 2 p.m. Sunday kickoffs are horrible. And it's going to be January as well when everything's bleak and no one's been paid yet either.
Three men moaning's not till the World Cup.
Sorry. Oh, I can't wait for that. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, those Sunday 2 o'clock kickoffs, they don't sit right with me. I much prefer the Saturday stuff. But will Ivan Toney be playing? That's the question. Interesting to see how that one goes. We probably should just tread carefully around that from a legal standpoint.
Well, they've said what he's done and he's put a load of bets on. But
yeah. Has he been charged with misconduct now? He hasn't he?
Unless players are betting on their own stuff. It feels like a lot of this stuff seems to be about protecting bookmakers as much as anything, which seems an odd stance for the football authorities to have.
Although it does, there is a way, if you think about it, like, because betting is very granular now, isn't it? In that you can bet on like first yellow cards, time of first corner, things like that. So it's open to manipulation and abuse.
Yeah, but like Jordan Stevens, when he got his ban for betting, he was just betting on some football matches that he had no links to. He was just sticking accumulators on and stuff. And when Trippier got a ban, it was because he told some mates that he was joining... Was it Atletico Madrid at the time? I think it was that transfer. So he told some mates about it and they'd put some bets on. And then I presume a bookies had gone, oh, we've lost a load of money on this.
Yeah.
And then he got a ban. Trippier got a ban for it. And you think, well...
What was Jordan Stevens? It was like 6 weeks, wasn't it? And he wasn't allowed contact with anyone at the club and stuff.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed to the training ground and stuff.
That was basically that he'd moved to Leeds and kind of found it hard to settle down and didn't really know what to do with himself. So he'd put some bets on. And then they were like, well, right, you're going to have a lot of free time now on your hands. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so I don't know what Tony's actually done. He may have been, sticking £1 million on the first throw-in of the game or something, you know, that sort of stuff. But probably not, because I think footballers just have money and are bored mainly.
Yeah. So the main Leeds news then for this week, the friendly, as we mentioned, those moved games. Jesse's got a new job writing stuff for The Athletic. We could cover that off now or in the World Cup. We've also got Bielsa potentially on his way to Bournemouth or Everton. Cody Drame links to Newcastle, Dortmund, and Leverkusen. Update from the women as well, who drew in the FA Cup penalty shootout. That's exciting. Which they won 1-0.
Yeah, it was.
That doesn't strike you as a high quality shootout, does it?
I mean, having watched is it Papa John's? Yes, Papa John's. I get confused if it's Papa John's or Checkatrade. Having watched that Papa John's shootout, I thought that would be the worst penalty shootout I watched this year, but nope. It was a 1-0. Brighouse managed to miss all five of their penalties.
So yeah, that one, penalty shootout. What I want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Jesse in the World Cup bit?
I mean, people have been wanting him to get a new job, etc.
Yeah,
and now
like
he gets
that.
One, and people are moaning. I mean, I suppose he's within his rights.
No, absolutely, it's completely harmless, isn't it? But the people who are against this will turn around and say, I've got no particular view in it. I don't really care either way. I don't think it affects anything. People will turn around and say, right, well, you having not made a glorious start and then turned it around a bit, you should be knuckling down and sorting out that defence. That's what the critics are going to say. People who don't care will go, not bothered. It's just a bit of work. He's probably talking it down the phone. Someone's writing it down, recording it, whatever.
Yeah, I've really couldn't be bothered. I mean, part of me thinks it might be interesting. Part of me thinks it's probably going to be quite annoying, but we'll see.
Why? Why is it going to be annoying?
It's just Jesse Marsh talking more, isn't it?
And why is it interesting?
Well, to hear some brilliant insight from our manager and see what he thinks.
Sounds like
about
you want it both
games.
Ways, Rob Conlon.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
I think he should spend all of that time with Junior Firpo.
Just encouraging him.
Just showing him video of stuff going, don't do that. Don't do that anymore. Don't do that. But in a positive way.
Yes.
He's a positive guy, isn't he?
Is this a safe time to segue into Marcelo Bielsa, or should we just put a drama-shaped buffer in there?
Bielsa's the obvious place, isn't it? Yeah, I didn't like the Bournemouth link. It's not gone away yet either, has it?
It's a bit awkward, isn't it?
How did you feel about the lectures in Poland? You see that he was doing that presentation, wasn't he? And I think Clicky's name came up in the...
Well, that's sort of given me hope in that he was saying he's analysed Poland's last 50 games. Well, surely he's been too busy to have given the Bournemouth job any thought. Mm. But then part of me worries that he's going to take the Bournemouth job and then just immediately sign Matt Click. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think he'd go to Bournemouth.
Well, he hasn't yet.
I know, but like, as they're not a team I ever considered he might join.
Why? Does it not sort of feel like it sits in his wheelhouse, maybe?
No, I don't know. He normally goes to sort of kind of bigger industrial cities and clubs that have maybe got a bit more history. I know that's probably harsh on Bournemouth, but you know, they're a fairly new Premier League team, aren't they, Bournemouth? I don't think many people historically consider them to be a big club, and they've got a really little stadium, and Bournemouth fans will be hating this, but I don't know, I just don't, it's not the sort of club I ever imagined him going to.
Mm. Yeah, he sort of goes for the almost like midweight clubs, doesn't he? Like upper midweight.
Yeah.
They've got, yeah, quite a lot of potential.
Like a large, always fairly large fan base, a bit mental in certain aspects. And Bournemouth just seem a really nice, safe option.
What is it about Lazio's fans that you...
Maybe he didn't stay there long, did he?
They were a bit too intense for him, man.
Yeah, they've got some intense views, a lot of them.
that's a great euphemism, intense views.
Yeah, well, they're very emphatic in some of the things they believe.
I think it would hurt if Bielsa went to Everton as well.
Everton makes a lot more sense.
It does make sense, but
Bielsa.
It would almost be a bit of a fuck you by Frank Lampard to get fired and then be replaced by Bielsa. I mean, it'd be dead funny in terms of, he'd hate that. He'd absolutely hate it, it'd be funny from that angle. But you get the sense that he'd make them fun to watch, and they're about that same sort of size club, aren't they? In terms of like fan base, stadium, you know, it feels a bit too close to home. I think
I really enjoyed Everton just hating themselves, though. I wouldn't want him to come in and give them enjoyment. It's weird because like the kind of grown up part of me thinks I should just think as long as Marcelo's happy, that's fine. Mm. But then the childish part of me just thinks, no, he's ours, you're not allowed him, go away.
It's like if you break up after like a nice like a long relationship, you've had some really good times and stuff, and you can break up and think, oh well, look, I kind of hope they're happy, whatever. But then it's, if they got together with someone you knew, you'd be like, whoa, not like this, go off and be happy somewhere else
with somebody I don't know.
Exactly. That's horrible. Now you've completely ruined it. So we've got some decisions to make, haven't we, if he does join
someone resolved
an English
issues.
Club. Like, we've got a little statue of him there in the corner, and there's pictures of him about the place, and...
Yeah, I mean, not to mention the reorder of the merchandise we've just done.
Well, Bournemouth or Everton fans could buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it says something about it that it's one of the best-selling items that we've got, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, I guess we'll have to process.
Just get a job somewhere in another country.
He really just needed to get that Bilbao job, didn't he? That would have been perfect. And also, I really wanted a trip to Bilbao.
Yeah, that would have been nice too. Yeah, I don't want to go to Bournemouth or Liverpool. Well, not unless it's to watch Leeds. But yeah,
you could combine those.
Somewhere, just go somewhere more interesting is what I'd ask of him.
About Cody Drama going somewhere more interesting. These are bizarre links to Newcastle, Dortmund, and Leverkusen of all clubs. Is there anything in this, or has he just got a really good agent?
Makes you think, doesn't it? He's a weird one, Drama, because he's highly rated, and for the 23s last year and the 21s this year, you know, he's looked good. There was a lot of hype around him last season in particular, albeit when we've seen him in the first team, I know it's only been a handful of appearances, he's kind of looked not very good. But it's a big jump up, and he's generally been thrown in quite difficult circumstances. But then last January was quite weird, the way he left on loan, which, you know, fair enough. I thought it was kind of admirable in one sense that he was taking his career in his own hands and went to Cardiff and did really well. But then the way he left and deleted all the Instagram photos of him playing for Leeds and things like that, you do think...
That's a bit teenage breakup, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you not have someone advising you going, just don't do that and then it'd be all right? And then, yeah, this season he's not really got a look, and he played at Brentford, didn't he? Which wasn't his fault. It was an absolute horror show. But then
Did he look all right at Brentford?
Well, Ayling came on and everyone was immediately like, oh, Ayling's better than him.
Right.
But then it was the other week, he was due to be in the squad against Wolves, and Marsh said afterwards that Drama had said he wasn't fit to play or to be involved. But yeah, it's all just very weird. Admittedly, with Christensen and Ayling ahead of him, you do think, well, where are you going to actually play?
I've just checked our TSB Plus members scores, and for that game against Brentford, he got 5.29 average score out of 10, but we did ship 5 goals. So
I mean, what did Diego Llorente get?
I think he got a 1 for that, didn't he?
Diego Llorente for that game got 1.15 out of 10 average.
Okay, well, he's better than him then, I suppose.
He's, he's 5 times better than Llorente.
The links to those clubs in particular does feel a little bit like the days of Monty Gimple, where it was like, you'd be like, oh, he's been linked with Liverpool and Man United and Barcelona.
That's a great call.
And Real Madrid, all these teams want him. And then it was like, can we see him play well? Nope.
I was going to say, Monty Gimple is a TSB guide in one there, isn't he?
Yeah, well, it really is. He had some nice PR photos done, didn't he, Gimple? I remember there was one of him, I think there was one of him in a suit doing like an overhead kick or something.
A Gimple suit.
A Gimple suit, that's the one.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, it feels like drama, especially as there's Luke Ayling in the mix. He just needs to go play some football for a bit, maybe alone in the second half of the season. And then if Ayling is still around next season, you just see how it all goes, don't you?
Or we need to make the decision that he's good enough to play now and Ayling's out of contract at the end of the season.
That's what I mean. If Ayling's, but like, Ayling's going to, unless there's an injury, he's going to be here till the summer. So you just let him go play some football in the second half of this season, get some more air miles like under his belt and see what it's like when he comes back in the summer.
He's got one more year on his contract after this season.
2024, I think it ends.
Right.
But yeah, it was strange last January as well, though, because when he left, it was when there were loads of injuries and he probably would have got a game. And he did. And you think, you know, you do need to get an opportunity and take it, like we've seen Gellhart do last season, like we've seen Somerville do this season. And it, you know, it's a big ask to just drop a kid in and expect him to do it in one game. But you do need to hang around and try and get some games, don't you, I suppose?
Yeah, but I suppose Somerville's the good example, because he was apparently wanting to play some football last January, wasn't he? And he ended up not leaving. And then there was talk he could have left at the start of this season as well. And now, you know, we're in November and he's our best player.
And I think the Newcastle link is that they want him to be a backup anyway, and they need to improve their 21 squad. So you think, well, you're not going there to get ahead of Kieran Trippier. So it's a weird one.
It is a weird one. And we'll see one. We never know. He might feature against Sociedad when we do that fixture. And next year is a glorious one for him. We'll see, won't we?
He's a good player. Like, every time I've seen him in the under 20, well, 21s, 23s previously, I've always thought he's good. But yeah, admittedly, his little brief appearances in the first team have been a bit hit and miss, haven't they? There was the Arsenal game when everyone was injured and COVID ridden, and it was, he got a bit roasted in that, but you know, it was not an easy game for him to come into.
No, not at all.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're here to talk about the World Cup. There's no Leeds United preview, so let's preview the World Cup in Qatar. How are you feeling about it? Are you kind of the same as everybody else, a little bit nonplussed by the whole thing?
Stupid, isn't it? Cold and pissing it down and there's a World Cup about to start. Really not right at all. I've never known a feeling like this around a World Cup where it feels like no one's bothered. But maybe that's just me. I feel like every other World Cup, I've always known someone who's going, at least one person who's been going and like really looking forward to it.
There's loads of England fans there. You've seen videos of them.
I have, yeah. I don't think they've travelled far, a lot of those
England
fans.
I haven't seen many women
there.
Either.
The more of the local England fans that have been paid to... The England fans been given a shirt, put this on and try to sing Three Lions if you can.
Well, I'm just looking at the sort of weather. You're in the low 30s for weather at the minute in Doha as we record this. So it's 5 p.m. on Thursday in Doha.
It's going to be lovely in one of those tents.
32 degrees. But yeah, sort of generally the weather is kind of in that ballpark. Sunday's looking cloudy, 29. Not too bad, is it? It is like a summer World Cup in
effect. Yeah, it's not the weather that I object to. The weather here I object to, because World Cup should be like...
Yeah, it's going out with your mates,
getting
a beer,
into summer, yeah. Beer gardens.
Watching outside.
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
I mean, you could watch it outside.
I mean, I suppose you could, yeah. That's what I object to. The weather there is fine. It's a stupid place to have it still.
So you're just being selfish, aren't you? It's just because you want to enjoy it more from your point of view.
Well, I think everyone could enjoy it more
Think about the footballing hotbed that is Qatar that's been waiting for this for 12 years
now.
I know
that huge population of theirs and all the football culture.
Do you detect a hint of sarcasm in my voice, etc.? It's weird, isn't it? What about you, Rob?
Just completely nonplussed. I mean, it's weird because my general enthusiasm for the England national team is probably at its lowest anyway, which is strange.
Is that Southgate, though?
No, not at all, actually. I almost feel a bit sorry for Southgate because everyone seems to hate him and he's actually been like the most successful England manager of my lifetime. Mm. But it's weird because when I was younger, I suppose you do get excited for major tournaments, and it's strange how... I actually probably hated all the players when it was like Terry, Lampard, Ferdinand, Rooney. But I would still get excited for a tournament. Whereas now, actually, I think there's players in that England squad who come across like actually decent people. I think over the last two tournaments, they've conducted themselves really well. Albeit there's just a lot of things about England as a country, which I find quite minging these days. Mm. And the Euros in 2016, me and some mates went out to France to follow England in the group stage. And just saw a lot of minging behaviour, like from the fans. And there was the whole stuff around taking the knee for the previous tournament. I just think, it's a bit crap, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't really make me feel like I want to get behind the boys and paint my face with the England flag and all that stuff.
It's not that,
like,
it's difficult to relate to some of it, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I went to the World Cup in 2006, and I have to say, the bit, I went to one England game, and it was probably the worst atmosphere of the whole tournament.
Worst in what way?
Just a bit of an horrible vibe around it. Literally, the only trouble I saw was two England in that whole trip was two England fans fighting on a train. I just thought, don't do this, lads. It was only the Trinidad game as well. It was like a completely nothing game. There was no kind of rivalry or nastiness around it. And
it's funny because you're right. You know, just thinking about this as an idea, I don't consider, like, I know obviously we're all Leeds fans first and foremost, and there are going to be Leeds fans who are also, like, pretty hardcore England fans and will travel and stuff. But for me, if there's a Venn diagram, it feels like they're quite far apart, the two circles. I don't ever think of the England supporters as they've been the same as Leeds supporters.
Mm.
It feels like two different separate bodies, and maybe that's why I can't relate to it.
I mean, in France, we just quickly realised that to have a nice time, we should just go where England fans aren't. And we did have an amazing trip. It was brilliant. But we did spend a lot of our time in France kind of apologising for the behaviour of other people in England shirts.
It's weird because, like, Leeds away obviously has quite an edge to it.
Yeah.
I sort of enjoy that in a way that I didn't find I did with England.
Is that it though? It's because that even though there are similarities in some of the behaviours, which is, you've got to say, is true.
Yeah, well, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
But they're not your people in the same way that Leeds fans are your people.
Yeah, and I think it's tagging it onto some of the sort of more nationalistic stuff is a bit, it's not really my thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I agree, the squad is, as a whole, is actually reasonably likeable. I mean, Calvin Phillips is still in there, so...
Yeah, but even then, that's been tainted, hasn't it, now? Because he's gone.
And he's not fit either. I mean, part of the reason I think I'm lacking enthusiasm as well for this is that I just looked through the squad and it's just full of horribly out-of-form people who are probably going to play. Like, we're going to probably have to witness Maguire and centre-back, and, you know, Alexander-Arnold might end up playing at full-back, despite the fact he's been terrible all season, and a half-fit Calvin Phillips stuck in midfield, and I don't know. I feel like it's not going to go well for us, this. I feel like it's got, like, we'll probably limp past Iran 1-0 with like an 80th minute Harry Kane penalty or something. And it feels like the momentum, I know it was only Nations League, but it feels like that momentum has been lost as well.
Yeah.
From Euros and, you know, World Cup previous.
There's just so much of it though, isn't there, as well? I suppose, like, the proximity to the Euros with that being held a year later.
Yeah.
And then this, it's only, what, 18 months or whatever. Feels really close, and then you've had the Nations League thrown in the middle of that, which really killed the vibe, it feels like. Yeah, it's always a bit miserable.
Yeah, and not to mention, obviously, the regular football calendar has been squeezed, hasn't it, post-COVID, so it's felt almost like relentless. and it's hard to care. It is really hard to care as much about them as like you do about Leeds. But you see, it's funny, you flip that on its head when you look at like USA fans. It seems to me, like anecdotally anyway, that there's a lot more of a relationship between like American fans and the national team than maybe we get the same vibes in England. You know, like there's a lot of love for like Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson. I think it's part of the reason why American fans have kind of gravitated towards us, because of the American presence. Jesse Marsh as well.
Because they didn't qualify for the last World Cup, was it? Or they've not qualified recently anyway. So I guess there's...
And without a strong domestic league as well to support it. Obviously, one does exist, but it's not of the, you know, the same weight as you get in Europe, is it?
Yeah, it does feel like... It feels like something I've noticed where now we have American players, is that so much, like you say, is geared towards just how our players doing elsewhere. Whereas I don't think there are probably many...
Like you were wishing injury on Harry Kane, for example. Well, yeah. Like only a few days ago.
If you're like, for example, like a Villa fan, I think I picked Villa because there's the fellow who does the Athletic podcast, the England ones. He's a Villa fan who doesn't look anything like he sounds. It's really weird. I can't remember the guy's name now. But when you see him, you're like, oh my, I thought he was about 60, this fella, but he's actually quite young. But like, I don't think there'd be many like Villa fans, for example, who might follow England, but I don't think they would be spending the rest of the season going, oh, you know, Harry Kane's doing really well. I'm pleased for him to be doing well.
Yeah, and no, we were sat there thinking he's a cheating bastard trying to run the referee at the weekend, weren't we?
Exactly. And I'll probably maintain that a little bit.
And yeah, he's probably one of the best hopes that we have of enjoying something on a national level in the coming weeks and months. I've got a funny feeling about this, that because expectation has now dropped so much with England because of the poor performance in the Nations League relative to the success, if you want to call it that, of the Euros, that because this tournament is so solid in terms of how it was awarded, the ridiculousness of where it is, it's just the sort of tournament England will do well in.
They're going to go stink it out, but do it really well.
I feel sorry if it seems like Wales, who have qualified as well, who don't qualify for every World Cup. And like, this might be, you might have waited your whole life and be like, yes, I get to go to a World Cup. And then you're sleeping in a shipping container in the desert paying 12 quid for a pint of Budweiser. And you just think, fucking hell, this is dire. What have I done to deserve this? I just want to see my country playing a big tournament.
But as with all these things, though, don't you find that often, and actually I guess you can relate this back to not feeling comfortable in the England end as much, it's to do with the people that you're with, isn't it? Like an experience like that will be dictated by the company that you keep.
Well, to an extent, but...
So if the Wales fans, you know, they're going to have a nice time together because they seem to travel pretty well and be a decent set.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll have a nicer time than, you know, a lot of people would. But at the same time, just don't look very good, does it?
Mm-hmm.
And I get the feeling Qatar may be regretting the whole thing.
A bit like, of buyer's remorse.
You like the fact that they've gone, yes, we've completely fairly won this event, but now everything around it, they seem kind of annoyed by. They're like, oh, everyone's complaining, it's not fair. It's like, well, did you not think any of this through? It's like they're buying a stupid wild animal or something and then being surprised when it arrives and fucking causes chaos.
I bought a Jaguar.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's horrible. He just keeps like biting me and stuff. Keeps shredding everything up. It's like, well, yeah, this was obviously always going to happen, you idiots. Why didn't you let someone else have it?
It does have a big fire festival vibe to it, hasn't it? Like when you see the accommodation as well, you think, oh my God, put a load of football fans in that. It's not going to go well.
Yeah. And we've got Dan James to like from a Wales point of view, though. Yeah. I mean, but you'll watch that, and when it comes to taking ownership of things, like he'll be one of ours. Yeah, like we feel part ownership on Ben White, and we will Calvin to a greater extent as well. But then you'll little Dan James, little Dizzle Jizzle, you'll be behind him, won't you?
Yeah, a bit.
Of course you will. Who else have we got there? Rasmus. As well.
Oh, Tyler Roberts hasn't even made it for Wales, has he?
No.
Who do we get? So three in total. Then who have we got that's at the tournament? Dan James is ours technically.
Aaronson, Adams, and Rasmus,
and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean,
that has stripped out a bit of the fun, hasn't it?
It was Victor Orta a few weeks back. I think it was in the wake of the defeat to Fulham. He was doing an interview at a summit in Argentina, albeit over Twitch, and he was asked about the impact of the World Cup mid-season and what it's going to bring to Leeds or what the problems are. And he sort of made a joke about, well, you know, it means our players can be revalued. And he name-checked Mateus Klich, Rodrigo, and Diego Llorente. And I thought, very optimistic of you there, Victor. And it's not worked out very well.
Yeah, our international number nines are having a tournament off.
Mm,
They're still young up-and-coming.
Tell me honestly, though, aren't you, in a way, given how precariously balanced this season is, a bit glad that a lot of people are not going?
Yeah, as much as I'd like to see Adams and Aaronson do well as well, equally, a bit of me thinks if they just go out in the group stage and come home injury-free,
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Because if they go deep into the tournament and they're still playing games into the start of December, into the middle of December, I'd be thinking, oh, give them a break. Come on.
Somebody's going to try and boot Aronson as well because he's tricky and wiry.
I'd probably boot him if I played him. It looks the easiest thing to do.
Dear me.
So, yeah, don't know.
Come on then, let's dig out.
Rodrigo looks like he's having a nicer time anyway. He's going to Euro Disney with his with his wife and kid, so he's got to think, that's more fun, isn't it?
Well, he's going to feature in the hero sections of Heroes and Villains in a bit. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you would, wouldn't you? I see, was it Phil said that Sean McGurk has flown out to Dubai? Because there's a lot of shuttle flights running from like Dubai to Qatar for this, so you'd be able to stay in Dubai, which I think is a little bit more chill than Doha seems to be at the minute.
I thought he was waiting for a late call-up, just in case anyone got injured. I'm here.
But yeah, there's got to be something positive about this. What I mean, like a break from Leeds, even chance break for the players Leeds. To have a nice.
The thing is, I still watch it. It's annoying because there's the point of like, should you even talk about it? Because you know, is it not helping doing what they wanted to do?
Are we enabling them? Do you mean?
Yeah, but then it's a bit. It reminds me a bit of like the Bates years at Leeds, where you're like, well, I like World Cups and I like watching games of football. So like, do I have to not do that now because some dickheads are running it? It's a bit like, you know, tell you, if you're buying a ticket for under Bates, you're encouraging them. It's like, yeah, but I like going to Leeds games. Why should I stop doing something I enjoy? Just because there's temporarily some bad people involved in
this. This is the same sort of logic being employed about Newcastle, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different, though, I think, for Newcastle. Because that's, well, in Newcastle, you get different layers of it because you get some of their fans now who will fully, like, go out to defend anything the Saudis do. That's different than just watching some football that's in a bad place.
I was going to say, we'll watch it, but as this podcast shows, we will talk about how shit it is constantly.
I mean, what I kind of hope is that England do well just so I've got some pleasure to be had from it. Because let's face it, if England start getting through this tournament and progressing to the later rounds, all this stuff is going to go out the window. You know,
it'll be interesting to see how it looks, though, on telly. Because,
well, that's what I was going to say. I want England to do quite well to give me some enjoyment from it, but I want it to look shit as a spectacle.
Yeah.
To kind of appreciate, you should never have had it there. Told you so.
And I hope Qatar do very badly. That's the other thing. It's the opening game, obviously, this weekend, isn't it? I'd love it if they like got absolutely spanked 5-0, and it was just a complete non-event for them as a footballing nation. They were like, "Yep, turned up 3 games, goal difference of -12, lovely stuff." I'd be quite pleased with that. Just to, because they shouldn't have, it shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there. Fucking stupid, full thing.
And we're off to North America for the next one, aren't we? I think we should go to that one.
I mean, that'd be
fun, wouldn't it?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Of it there. There's only a degree of of intolerance in America. But, let's see how Trump fares in his re-election campaign. But you can see, the thing is, you can see why it would be in America, because you know it's a massive sporting nation and it's got such potential and taking football around the globe, and it's already got stadiums and it's got good cities and there's just so much going for it as a place to take a World Cup. And then
it's the sort of place where you could go and get in like a camper van or whatever, something like that, and just tour around. If you didn't go to games, just be near the whole experience.
I was going to say there'd be actual accommodation to stay.
Yeah, exactly. Some rooms
rather than a prison camp. One thing I am looking forward to actually is to see how the semi-automatic VAR works in this tournament. It should hopefully be an improvement on the.
I think where you're going with semi-automatic then. I was going to say.
Again, going back to America.
How they're dealing with the old protests.
The semi-automated VAR for offsides should be interesting to see how that functions.
I hope that breaks as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's got to be better than the human drawing the lines bullshit that goes on now.
Yeah, maybe so.
So there's your positive.
This is what football has come to.
Better VAR.
I hope the computer works.
Better VAR. I hope VAR breaks completely during this World Cup. I hope there probably will be some dreadful decisions in favour of Qatar, to be honest, as they try desperately to maintain some home interest in a tournament.
There you go then. 3 men moaning. Hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week. I'll just let you know the format, actually. We're going to give the usual stuff a rest, aren't we? Like across the course of the tournament.
Not the moaning, that won't be having
it. Oh, well, there'll be plenty of that. But no, we'll come up with some sort of World Cup-y flavoured shows just to keep tabs on how things are going, how players are getting on, and keep an eye on Leeds to see what's going on there. So do stick around for that for the next few weeks. And we've had some nice artwork drawn up, which if you remember USA 1994, it's a little nod in the direction of that. So look out for that in your feeds next week. And we're doing heroes and villains in the final parts of this week's show. The last time we'll do this until we get back after Christmas. Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award. Nominations for people who have made us a bit sad in the last week. These nominations are predominantly coming in from our TSB Plus members. We can obviously choose to adopt these, throw them out, whatever we want to do. In the Leeds corner, Jesse Marsh, the defence, Cooper and Ayling specifically. In the opposition corner, Spurs as a whole, Harry Kane, the refs, VAR, and others, FIFA for the World Cup, international managers for the World Cup, Pascal's Barber for the hair, and Bournemouth for Bielsa, by the looks of it. Where do you want to go with this?
Jesse Marsh, I suppose. Start on him. He got a fair bit of flack from people for the subs. Joffy's mum's knickers.
we're so sorry, Lynn.
Has been in touch. Who nominates Marsh for his shit subs again? Who sends two kids in the 88th minute when they need 50 minutes or more? Useless, get rid.
I mean, you only read that out for the name, didn't you?
Absolutely. Correct. Yeah, it was funny. It made me laugh. Yeah, and other people just kind of criticising the game management stuff. But as we said, I don't know, bringing on a defender does seem sort of sensible in a way. I can kind of see why he would have done it.
I think as we were sort of saying on Propaganda, Moscow was saying, until he's got a sustained period of credit in the bank, I think from a run where you go, ah, we look good in this run, people are going to pick holes in everything that happens that's negative and maybe not appreciate the positive so much. But does he get nominated in the heroes section that follows this? That's the question, isn't it?
No. I don't think so anyway. No. I mean, maybe someone said something nice. I can't remember. But yeah, I think I'm sort of where Roger is on him. He says the team seems to win or lose independently of him. Always a long explanation of the problem, but never seems to know how to solve it. Defending has been shocking all season. And that might be...
All managers do that, though.
Is that just minimising Jesse's role because we're still not sure of him?
Yeah, I think that's unfair. I'm still not convinced by him, but I'm hoping to be convinced by him. But I think that's unfair because all managers explain the problem and say we need to do this better. I mean, look at Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to compare Marsh to Lampard and his...
Most of them, they all do it.
Lampard does it slightly differently, though, because he says there was nothing wrong with my instructions. Yeah. It's the players who are not... If everyone did as I told them, we'd be top of the league.
But Marsh has said that about not implementing game plans, hasn't he?
Marsh does have a touch of that where he was saying the tactics were fine.
But that's what they all do.
You didn't do the tactics enough.
but Mikel Arteta, where did it go wrong today? And he'd say the same thing. We made mistakes here and there. It's just what they do.
To be fair, I've found it difficult to get too worked up about Marsh for this game. And it's been weird because he was given these three games and it was so obvious they were desperate to give him until the World Cup break. And it might be because the World Cup break is here and it just feels like a bit of a pause, result of brief. But you do look back, you think, well, I probably expected him to be sacked by now. If those three games, I definitely didn't expect us to get 6 points. I think whether it is because of him or in spite of him, they've got through it kind of thing.
And it's a results-based game. And if you get the results, then you're going to be judged well. If you don't, you won't. And we seem to be sawtoothing up and down between the two at the minute, don't we? But let's just see. Don't pick on Jesse. He's all right. Let him go to his athletic column and have a nice time.
And I'm as much as I've been unconvinced by him, I'm so glad we don't have to get back on the managerial merry-go-round and like, because we'd be linked with Deitch and Allardyce and it'd be all those people, wouldn't it? And then Victor Orta would pluck someone out of the Macedonian third division and everyone would be cross about that instead. And I don't know. At least we know what we're getting with Jesse.
No manager's perfect, are they? So, you know, there's a lot to be said for stability.
Yeah. And the players do seem to like him. Like they are playing for him, aren't they? I think the players. It doesn't have that impression of people trying to get him sacked.
Yeah.
Not anymore anyway. It maybe did a bit of some of the earlier games. But the fact we've turned it around from that.
Yeah, the defence gets picked out though, having said all that.
The defence is fucking shambolic.
In particular, Richard Butler saying collectively they need to start figuring out how to stop us looking so vulnerable. We leak goals so easily. I suspect it goes back to what I was saying about having seen Man City the other week. It's better players, I think, is probably the only way that you get around this one.
I don't think it is just better players. We concede the same goals all the time. If it was, it's not so much individual mistakes because it seems that the players will do the same stuff all the time. So it's, I know, if it's so repeatable as a way to score against us, I feel like it's a fault with the system.
I've inadvertently deleted the clip in which this is addressed, but it was one of our American...
Well done.
Yes, yeah, so thanks, American listeners. So my apologies for having deleted the clip. But who basically said, if you actually look at the defensive players that someone like Leipzig have, they're all quick and strong, and whereas ours are not. And that's maybe what you need. You need players who are better suited to dealing with the Red Bull requirements defensively.
I mean, who knows? We may buy a left back that will solve everything.
Never.
Yeah. Or we might just try and talk up Junior Firpo again, which seems to be the, the preferred method of not buying a left back, doesn't it?
No. But there was some singling out of Cooper and Ayling in among this. We also got picked on by Jane, Cowgirl Jane. Says, y'all! In fact, you want to read the other good with the authentic American accent? Come on, you do it.
No, come on, you do it.
Go on.
No, I know what Jane's voice is like, so
it's funnier than for if you make her sound like Jesse from Toy Story.
Do your nicest American accent.
Y'all for being a bunch of fucking grumps.
You've done it. No, exaggerate it, Michael.
Oh, y'all for being a bunch of fucking grumps.
There we go. That's it.
Well, that's by 1 point. No, it's not a point. The number four team. Y'all sounded like you've been forced to kick puppies. I quite like kicking puppies. So stick to the facts.
Cheer up, says Jane. No, we're not having that. I don't know if we've even put that in. Why did I mention it?
I thought we were quite positive, actually, after Spurs, considering. I mean, it was for Leeds fans.
There was a lot of fun to be had in that game. And, you know, we can spend our lives pulling it apart, can't we, with everything that's wrong. Enjoy it. Harry Kane, opposition corner. Harry Kane, refs and VAR. We're putting the refs and VAR in the opposition corner because they were clearly in favour of Spurs. Yeah. And Spurs in general, Boney M, not a fan.
Wedge refers to him as Vary Kane, which is good.
Vary Kane.
That one.
And Jason Kay, who evidently is not an Englishman, says, I know you English love your golden boy, but he's a horrible, cheating, dribbling bastard. I mean, if you listen to Michael on the match ball, you don't love the golden boy, and you've been saying it earlier on in this show. Not arsed.
Nope, really don't care for him. I think we should send Joffy into his place.
And do you want to read out Lucy's comment as well? Because I think Lucy has really gone in with both feet here on Kane, which is what you wanted to see, Michael.
Fucking big six tosser who will no doubt lead England to pathetically limping out in the group stage, disappointing an entire nation, yet will still be chosen by Southgate and inevitably Fat Frank to continue to be a fucking useless captain and a relentless whining cheat.
Excellent. The refs obviously got picked out by multiple people. The VAR for the whole push on Melier, lots of F-bombs in this. We probably don't need, you know, it's been said a lot. We said it a lot. So, and Spurs in general, as we mentioned with Boney M. Any others? Well, international managers get picked out for leaving out our fine young men from their squads. FIFA as well for this World Cup.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Patrick saying, vote with your remote, do not watch. I mean, the problem is it don't make any difference, does it?
No.
By not watching.
You know, from my time in TV advertising, I know the ratings work, unless you're on the bar panel. You didn't really matter.
So when you're on the bar panel, you get like a set-top box that records what you watch.
Yeah, there's about 5,000 households in Britain have them. All the TV ratings are taken from those.
Yeah. So if you haven't got one of those,
they've done it in a vaguely representative way. So they've got the right amount of sort of demographically the right ages and
split of ethnic groups and
a breakdown of Britain, and then it's just factored up from that.
Same with radio listening figures as well. Like
that's even worse. That's just
ridiculous.
A diary.
It's a written diary. They do some like watches that listen to what you listen to, and there's some online aspects to it. But yeah, basically, like your average white person who's about middle aged is worth about 1,000 in the population. But if you get into like ethnic minority groups, so if somebody who's say black gets a diary, it's multiplied a lot more. So it's absolutely crazy. So diaries can go to X, Y, and Z. No idea. Completely made up on the hoof.
Michael, I feel like you're really deconstructing your time at ITV a lot more recently.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about it a lot more, aren't I?
It's like therapy, isn't it?
I feel like it's that award has given you some security where you just think, oh, fuck them.
I'm not going back ever. Yeah. No, but the TV...
Making sure you can't.
The TV... I did that a few years ago, to be honest. But the TV ratings, though, because people are like, in TV, they're like, oh, no, that is correct if a rating's high or low. But then you go, well, what's it based on? You go, well, this thing, which is not all that good, really. It works fine, actually, for main channel stuff, because if it's something on BBC One, there are millions of people watching it, and there will be hundreds of people on the bar panel watching it. But when it's like an obscure digital channel, it will show us zero ratings, because none of the 5,000 homes happen to be watching, you know, Quest Plus One at the point at 2 o'clock on an afternoon or whatever.
That, which is when the EFL highlights are on.
Exactly. So if you're on the bar panel, lie and say you're watching something else.
Yeah.
The rest of us can watch it and say it's shit.
Yeah, fine. So to conclude that point, that thought was, don't really make any difference if you don't watch. And it's something to watch on telly, isn't it? That isn't relentless, you know, I'm a celebrity, strictly. If you're not into those things, watch a bit of football.
I will probably watch like every game. I've got to be honest.
But we're going to be able to talk about it. So anyway.
Don't have to speak to your kids then, do you?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'll be watching at least some of it with them there, which is only half watching anything, because I'm normally getting
Bournemouth getting mentioned here as well, by the way. Nominations, just the whole Bielsa thing.
Yeah. And Everton, yeah, and Everton, I guess, for the same.
In the words of Will Smith, keep my ex-managers out of your fucking mouth. Name out of your fucking mouth. Pascal's Barber, Dick Van No Control, says Pascal's Barber is just a big, sexy catalogue model now. I want D'Artagnan back.
I think he can still be a pirate.
Sounds like you're trying to see you can be a pirate if you want to be a pirate.
You be what you want to be.
He's just cleaned up. He's just cleaned himself up. He's back on shore for a bit. And yeah. He's cleaned himself up.
Taking down the skull and crossbones.
Yeah, he's having a bit of shore leave. Pirates have shore leave.
Yeah, and got some cream for that. Should we move on? Who's your villain of the week?
It's got to be VAR and refs, hasn't it?
Oh, I was going to say, I quite like the idea of sending Harry Kane off to the World Cup as villain of the week.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, because he tried to run the refs, didn't he? So, fine, whatever. FIFA can have it as well.
Andy scored the goal. If he was a proper England captain of any substance, he'd have noticed that foul and said, no, that's unfair. I'm not going to score.
Gentleman's game and
but
all
he's
that.
A cheat.
Yeah. Right. The Gaetano Berardi hero of the week. Let's also deal with the scores from the Spurs game. Rodrigo, your man of the match, 7.88. Just pipping Chris Somerville, 7.58. We've got Brendan Rasmus, Ilian, and so on and so forth. Quite low marks, I think, for what was quite a good performance. I think this feels like a little unfair from our TSB Plus members. Jesse Marsh getting 4.06 out of 10.
If you take the last 10 minutes off, these would probably all be above 7, wouldn't they? Yeah. Because everyone would be like, oh, what a brilliant win.
Michael Salisbury, the dickhead ref, gets 1.94 out of 10. Ooh, I think that's probably by proxy for VAR as well. Player of the year-wise, Tyler Adams. We've had to increase the decimal places on this. It's getting so tight now. Tyler Adams with 6.943 and Aronson with 6.940 with Melier just...
Miles back.
Just the shade behind with 6.922. Willy Nonto has now got 7.254, but it's based on only 3 appearances, so we've got to decide whether we factor him in. At what point we factor him into this list.
He was rubbish against Spurs.
Yeah.
And, villain.
And Jesse, 5.16 for his season so far. Candidates for Hero of the Week. The main candidates, there are 3, so it'll be one of these 3. Rodrigo, who was your man of the match, Somerville just pipped, and Aronson just behind. And the weight of nominations kind of reflects that as well, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
I quite like Marvin's because he said it's got to be Rodrigo. I've been very, very forgiving of him, and I was sat there watching and criticising him until he banged in 2, which I think is kind of what we were moaning about him a
exactly
bit.
Exactly the same as what happened.
Early in the game, we're like, I've not even seen him touch the ball. Oh, he scored. And he scored again. All right, yeah, fair enough.
Which is a striker's job. So if he does that, fine.
Yeah.
Because it's goals that keep you up in this division.
He's on track for like 20 goals or something this season.
It would be incredible if he scores 20 goals and I'd still go, I think he's shit.
Still, we should get rid.
Because he's nice. He's evidently a talented player, isn't he?
I mean, if he can get 20 goals, we probably won't go down, will we?
No, I say you score your way to safety in this division.
Because that's generally the problem teams at the bottom have is that they just can't get the goals to keep them up. So... yeah, just keep doing that.
And his celebrations are good as well. I enjoy the sort of flappiness.
He's just so confusing because if you listen to, I wrote about him for the blog, and like if you listen to Jesse Marsh talk about Rodrigo, and he talks about him like he's this wise old man, and he's like the leader and part of the leadership council, and he's so sensible, and you know, he's all this experience. But then you watch him score, and he just turns into this giddy toddler, and you see him at Disney World. And I think I prefer that Rodrigo. Let's just let him be like the daft lad up front scoring goals.
I think that's one of the things that I always feel bad, and as I said before, like on a human level, as I've got older, I've got more empathetic, and I don't like the idea of criticising footballers in case it makes them feel sad. Mm. Like Firpo seems like a really nice man, but I do struggle with his football.
Yeah, follow him on Instagram. It's when you see him like just having a nice day out with the kids or whatever, and you think, oh, I don't want to make you sad. You're just like at a farm or something. Yeah. You shouldn't be sad around cows, should you?
And I really, Rodrigo strikes me as a very nice man.
Yeah.
So I don't ever want to criticise him.
Joffrey's mum's knickers did. Although he does nominate him as there he said.
He just wanted to say that again.
He's had so much shit and he really wasn't that good again. But he still, despite being the worst striker in the league, scored 2 fucking brilliant goals. He did fuck all the rest of the time, but what a return.
Strikers are there to score goals. That's what they're there for, isn't it?
Do you think Bielsa's broken us on this? Because we spent so long going, well, Bamford doesn't really score, but it's what he gives to the team and it's the whole collective thing.
Yeah.
Whereas just having a striker who maybe just scores
goals.
Well,
look, I mean, we've said enough about Harry Kane in this show, but look at how he performs. He often doesn't do a right lot, does he?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, but you don't see him like charging about closing down, do you? But what I mean is...
he links the play quite well, does Harry Kane.
But he's just a devastatingly good striker when it comes down to those aspects of it.
Yeah. But he also does, when he's playing a bit deeper under Mourinho as well, he was pretty good at that, putting through balls and...
Well, that's me told.
Well, I feel like as much as I hate him, he should probably should probably acknowledge he's quite good.
But it was always the case with Nketiah when I looked at him as a footballer, and you know, you start to imagine what he'd look like in our side. And I think, for what it's worth, had we got him in the summer, had he not stayed at Arsenal, he'd have been a good fit in this team, doing the red ball penis ball, the red ball penis ball rather. You know, running off the shoulder of the last defender and going through the middle and all that kind of jazz. I think it'd have worked. So maybe in this system, you just need someone who can put it in the bloody net.
Well, we've got two. We've got Somerville as well. He's good at putting it in the net. He's nominated a lot. Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? Turns out. I don't know why we've not been playing him. Just scores in every single game.
He's gone full Sonny Perkins.
He has. I kind of think he's just going to be in the scene for the rest of the season now, isn't he?
For the rest of his life.
No, but whether
he likes it or not.
This has been his kind of, we said, was it the breakout performance was like, was it Liverpool? Was it maybe when he first stamped his authority on the first team position, and now it just feels like he is just part of it, doesn't it? It's funny how that happens with players. Like for example, I'll give you like Joffe as an example. Crossed the Rubicon into being first team contention, like too good for the 21s, but has never like cemented his place in there.
Mm.
He's still trying to get established, find where he belongs. Whereas Somerville, yeah, I'm just part of it now.
It feels like with Joffe, whenever he's got close to starting a game, he's picked up an injury, and then he ends up back in that position of coming off the bench, and I don't think Marsh particularly does him any favours by bringing him on with, you know, 4 minutes to spare or whatever, and be like, oh, can you go on and like do the Norwich thing again? I enjoyed that one. Go and score another goal and win it for us.
It was like when Ayling got sent off at Arsenal last year, and Joffe had finally got a start, and then after 20 minutes he was taken off. I think Marsh even then was like, he didn't even play very well. Come on, mate.
Bless him.
We need to have the ball for at least some of the time to say that about him.
The outsider for this one is Aronson as well. Panchi wants to give him a nomination for tricky feet and a constant threat, but it looks like it's Rodrigo or Somerville, given the whole 4-in-4 thing, which, as Connor says, is a great knock.
It is. I feel like Rodrigo. He deserves it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Especially as, you know, if you're going to sit here and say he's not been up to much for certain games this season, you've got to acknowledge his scoring record and the fact that he seems to have hit a bit of a hot streak, which is all we ever want from him.
Yeah, exactly. And he also ordered a very small Mickey Mouse shaped pizza the other day, because he put that on his Instagram.
For himself or for a loved one?
Who knows? But he took a picture of it, and that was nice.
And that's all that matters. So Rodrigo is the hero of the week then. Not international number nine anymore,
because
he's not off to the World Cup, is he? But like you said earlier on, Michael, I'm kind of pleased he's going to Disney rather than Qatar. That wraps up the weekly show, which we'll take a break in its usual format. We'll be back with sort of the World Cup diaries across the next few weeks, heading into Christmas, and we'll be back with all the usual stuff just before Christmas. We'll speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.